Good day, my brothers and sisters. This is Father Blake Britton from St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today we will be reflecting on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance, and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In today's Gospel, we hear about two different ways in which we can approach God. One of the most fascinating aspects of this gospel is that both of these men, the Pharisee and the tax collector, are men of prayer. They are both addressing God, but what distinguishes them is the way in which they approach God. On the one hand, you have the Pharisee. He approaches God in a spirit of arrogance. He tells the Lord what the Lord is to do, and also approaches the Lord telling him how good he is as a Pharisee. And this, of course, blinds the Pharisee to seeing ways in which he needs to grow in a deeper holiness. But then you have a tax collector, and this tax collector recognizes his own sinfulness and brokenness. He comes to God in a spirit of humility, and thus his prayer is heard, and Jesus holds him up as an example. The Lord, with his typical genius, draws a contrast between these two characters, which were highly influential in different ways in first century Judea. You have Pharisees, which were a member of the three great classes of Judaism at the time. We know that you had the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Essenes. The Pharisees were the most popular of the sects of Judaism during this time. They really emphasized the fact that the way we remain tied to God is by being faithful to the laws of Torah and the temple. This was especially important for what we call the diaspora. These are Jews who were spread throughout the known world and unable to worship God in the temple. And so the Pharisees developed this way of practicing Judaism in which we can adore God outside of the temple, and that is by praying the Torah and being faithful to the laws of the Torah. So they had very wide and far-reaching influence. In the eyes of most people, they were considered to be the most righteous, to be the most upstanding of citizens. The tax collectors, on the other hand, were the complete opposite. These were the dogs, if you will, of the Roman Empire. So what would happen is, if the Roman Empire had requested from a particular town for $1 million, the tax collector would charge that town $3 million. And would pocket $2 million. So they were very hated by the Jewish people. Yet in this story, this is the person that Christ holds up as our premier example of Christianity. So of course, this would have really put a dagger, if you will, through the heart of those who are listening, especially practicing Jews. They would have been horrified that a tax collector has more virtue than a Pharisee. In our own lives, the lesson that we learn today is the following. Firstly, with what attitude do we approach God? Do we approach Him telling Him what to do and telling Him what we need? Do we approach him with a spirit of righteousness and a spirit of pride? Do we approach him with a spirit of judgment about others and how they live their lives, instead of turning inwards and reflecting on how we live our lives? Do we look for the splinter in our brother and sister's eye while being blind to the wooden beam that is sticking out of our own? And in the tax collector, we have the fundamental way of expressing humility before God, which is namely beating our breast and recognizing our own sinfulness. This is a common theme to those who Christ holds up as an example throughout the Gospels. So we have the blind man, Bartimaeus. How does he receive healing? He recognizes his brokenness. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. I am broken. I need your help." The lepers, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. I am ostracized. I am marginalized by society. I am a person who is wicked and suffering the consequences of sin. Lord Jesus, give me your healing grace and love." And of course, these are the persons to whom the Sacred Heart is attracted, not because the Sacred Heart loves them any more than he loves the Pharisee, not because the Sacred Heart thinks of them more highly than he does anyone else, but because the Sacred Heart is drawn to a heart that is disposed to receive it. In other words, the leper, the blind man, the tax collector, their hearts are open to the Sacred Heart. They're not glasses that are already full, they're glasses that are empty, and so they can be filled with the rich wine of God's divine mercy. And this is the true origin of the virtue of humility. That word humility, such a profound word, comes originally from the Latin word humus, which means of the earth. Of the earth. It means to be earthy, to be down to earth, have your feet firmly planted on the ground, to know truly who we are. So you have false humility, which is the sense of worthlessness. Oh, I'm pathetic, I'm not good enough. That's not true humility. True humility is recognizing, Lord, I'm broken, but I desire holiness. I desire greatness. That's what this tax collector has. Have pity on me, O God, a sinner. But notice that even though he recognizes himself a sinner, he still has the courageousness to cry out to God. See, if he would think that he was worthless, if the tax collector thought he did not deserve God's mercy, then he would have been like Judas, who hung himself. Judas did not believe he was good enough. Judas fell prey to Satan's lie that he was worthless and not worth saving. And for this reason, he falls into that great mortal sin of despair. We know that if Judas would have turned to Christ, then Christ would have forgiven him immediately, but Judas lost faith in his own goodness and lost faith in God's goodness, and this is what led eventually to his suicide. But this tax collector, Peter who denies Christ 3 times, what distinguishes these characters of sin apart from those who do not receive mercy? It is their trusting confidence that God will forgive them and that God loves them even amidst their own brokenness. My brothers and sisters, as we continue this great Christian journey, seeking sainthood, which is the virtue that we were all created to acquire, let us first and foremost be men and women of humility, recognizing that we're broken, but not allowing that brokenness to lead us into the mortal sin of despair, but rather trusting that God loves most broken things. He himself who became broken upon the cross when his flesh dangled from his bone like tattered rags. And in that brokenness was wrought our salvation. The same is true of our own hearts. It is where we are most broken that Christ comes to dwell. Our brokenness is where the divine heart prefers to live, because from that brokenness he can transform our wounds into a font of divine mercy. St. Paul says it best. Where sin is great, grace abounds all the more. So let us have the humility of the tax collector in today's gospel. Let us not approach the Lord telling him what is best for us, or describing for him our righteousness, but rather trusting that he is a good father who knows what is best for us, being aware of our brokenness and our need for healing, and trusting that God will redeem our wounds to make them fountains of sainthood and life. Amen.